Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
So, out of one corner of my eye, I've been keeping an eye on this shooting situation in Jersey City. Apparently, several people are now confirmed dead. And others wounded, and one police officer was killed. And there was at least one gunman, and apparently police were lured into an ambush situation. This is a developing story. It started about 4 hours ago, and obviously information is trickling out. But this was obviously a horrible tragedy in Jersey City. No word on motive, no word on suspects, at least of which I am aware. I will try to double-check that as we move along. And ABC, they offered the news conference earlier, but thought they might have updates during the hour to help us out. But we'll see what the network has to offer us. But that is the situation that happened in Jersey City. Now, closer to home, unless you've been living in a cave, ever since October, there has been rampant speculation on the internet and elsewhere about a terrible crash in which two people were killed. And there have been all kinds of rumors that the driver of the car, who was reportedly drunk at the time two innocents lay dead afterwards, was somehow connected or powerful. And that is why the driver was not being identified. And here is what Channel 7 has reported. WKBW.com, we put a link to their work up at the Bowerly Bellavia Facebook page. Weeks after a deadly crash in South Buffalo that killed Kristen Labruno and AJ25 III. The Channel 7 Eyewitness News team has chosen to identify the driver of the Maserati involved in the crash. They did it with a Freedom of Information request. The driver is 34 years old. His name is Antonio D. Brown. He has not yet been charged with a crime. According to Channel 7, they don't usually release somebody's name unless and until they're officially charged. But with so much information being discussed and shared on social media, actually misinformation, Channel 7 has decided to proceed with what they know. A representative, and the mayor himself, by the way, tells the Channel 7 I team that Mayor Brown is not related to the driver of the car, Antonio Brown. It was a 2008 Maserati, and Brown was driving a car that was registered. This Maserati was registered to K&M Motors in Buffalo. And I looked it up online, and according to online records, the owner of that dealership is a guy by the name of Michael Gates. But he wasn't driving. It was Antonio Brown who was driving. According to the police report, the front end of the car Antonio Brown was driving struck the driver's side of the victim's car. What else do we have here from the story by Channel 7? The accident report explains that Kristen Labruno was ejected from the Toyota she and Mr. 25 the third were in. Both of those souls died in the crash. Accident investigators are still looking into it. Now, last month, back in November, and this crash took place in October, the Channel 7 I-team reported that police had seized the black box from the Maserati, and a source close to the investigation told Channel 7 that that black box has been sent to Italy for examination. And in my mind, that raised an interesting question. Why did the 2008 Maserati have a black box when, as of 2014, a black box was not standard issue factory equipment on a Maserati? And I asked people for their input into the aftermarket use of an event data recorder in an automobile. And the reason I bring this up, you know, you always get your people, who cares, Tom? You know, I've said this before. I could have Jesus in studio along with the Pope and Paramahansa Yogananda. And people would say, who cares, Tom? It's like, you know, my radio's got switches. If there's something I don't want to hear, I turn it on to Comedy Central or something. I don't get the mentality. I really don't. If you don't care about something, don't listen. I mean, really? Are you radio stuck? Are you paralyzed in bed? Are you quadriplegic and you don't have an aide around? I mean, I wonder about these people. But anyway, that's another story altogether. A police source says the driver of the Maserati ran into the Toyota at Seneca Street and Pomona Place about 2:30 in the morning on a dark, wet, rainy night back in October. According to Channel 7, police source says toxicology reports show Brown was driving drunk when he crashed. He was taken to Mercy Hospital, and his passenger, a 24-year-old woman, was taken to ECMC basically with whiplash. So those are the facts as reported by Channel 7. Those are the facts. I mean, I have heard so many things about this accident that the person involved in causing the crash, or allegedly causing the crash, was somehow politically connected. I had heard that he was Byron Brown's nephew, and according to the mayor himself, he is not in any way, shape, or form related to the driver of the Maserati, which killed two people. Now, it does beg the question. I mean, there are some legitimate questions people are asking. For example, why was the driver not publicly identified without Channel 7 having to file a Freedom of Information request? Why was the driver not identified? And that question is, I think, a good one, and it's a fair one. The other question is, with the on-the-ground accident investigation techniques developed by law enforcement, why was it necessary to send the black box to Italy? My question, by the way, involved, well, why was there even a black box on a car that wasn't supposed to have one? And again, I'm just curious more than anything as to was it, you know, how common is it aftermarket for dealerships or people to put on event data recorders? Because that kind of stuck out to me when I read the report on Edmunds.com. And the reason I even bring that up is because suspicious people are asking me about the black box and why it was sent to Italy, why the work of retrieving the data was not done stateside, and is that an indication that somebody is stalling for time? That's another question that people have brought up offline, or actually through the text board or email, is why did they send it to Italy? And the crash was in October. It's now December. How come the data is so slow in coming back? I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer why it wasn't done stateside. I don't have an answer as to how long it takes to retrieve the data. And I don't know if the data is going to be used to corroborate accident investigation unit findings on the ground. I don't know what kind of an investigation was done on the ground that rainy and wet night of the crash. And I don't know also why Mr. Brown has not yet been charged with drunk driving, if those toxicology reports are accurate, that he was drunk legally at the time of the fatal accident in which two people died. And the force of the crash was enough to throw Miss LeBruno from it. And I can only imagine the pain and suffering of the families of Miss LeBruno and Mr. 25 the third. I mean, it was in October, and now we're approaching Christmas time, and it will be obviously a major holiday, just like Thanksgiving was, without two loved ones present for any family gatherings or celebrations. And it's tough to lose somebody around the holidays, especially in this way, and especially with so many people talking about the situation. And there are so many conspiracy theories out there about this particular accident, and I don't know why. If you don't feel like calling in with why the mystery over this, what have you heard from the people who know the real story, you can text me if you want at the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 3930. But my on-air question basically is, does the Channel 7 report resolve in your mind the idea that this is somehow nefarious and sinister, the withholding of the name and the withholding of details of this crash that happened back in October? And we oughtn't to lose focus on the real story here, which is the fact that Miss LeBruno and Mr. 25 the third were killed. They were taken from us too soon. They were taken from us apparently wrongly, and clearly justice must be done on their behalf. And their families should be prayed for. James in Amherst looks like a promising caller, if I can believe the screening process. James, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show. What do you have? James, you got to turn the radio off, okay? I know that you are fascinated and mesmerized by every word I speak, and I'm somewhat appreciative of that, but the radio must be completely off. James, please turn the radio off. Talk radio has been around for a long time. I should never have to say that. James in Amherst, I'll try one more time. You're on WBEN.
Yeah. Tom.
James.
Hi.
I wish I was.
So I don't know about nefarious or sinister, but I do have a couple of theories about it. I remember there being a football player for the Steelers with the same name.
Yeah, this isn't that guy.
It's not that guy?
No, this is not Antonio Brown of the NFL. Brown, and just so you know, Brown is the fourth most common surname in the country. Over 1 million people with the surname Brown in the U.S.
Of course, of course. I'm thinking someone lawyered up, and that lawyer had the black box sent to Italy.
According to Channel 7, that was something done by the Buffalo PD accident investigation people.
Yeah.
That was on the prosecution side, not the defense side.
Hmm. Okay. That's it for my theories then.
So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, we've established that it's not a relation of Mayor Byron Brown, and we've established that it's not the guy from the NFL. So all of these, I mean, why do you think they held back the guy's name? What do you think is going on beneath the surface? Translation, what is dumbass Tom not getting about this story?
I'm at a loss. I don't even know. Those were my two theories, and that was it.
All right. I'm glad you called. I mean, this is just, you know, I am amazed. I will say that much. I'm amazed at how much attention and speculation this particular accident has received online, social media, and elsewhere. I'm amazed at the rumors, and it's like everybody has their version of what happened in this accident and why they believe information is being withheld from the public. And to be honest with you, I think it is a very fair question. Why did Channel 7 have to resort to a Freedom of Information request in order to learn the name of a driver in a fatal accident which has received much attention and has been the object of much speculation in social media? I think that is a very reasonable and legitimate question people can ask. And it is also a fair and legitimate question, and maybe you've got a thought on this, as to if we know, due to toxicology reports, if we know that Mr. Brown was drunk, legally drunk, if we know that he was behind the wheel, why has he yet to be charged with anything, including, of course, drunk driving? Why? That's a question. I can speculate. I can only speculate that they're waiting for the data to come back from Italy, which begs the question, what's taking so long? It's a cinch to get data from an electronic event recorder, so I don't understand, an event data recorder, so I don't understand why the accident happened in October and it is December, and according to this Channel 7 report, they're still waiting for the results to come back from Italy. It's 27 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly with you on a Tuesday, and tomorrow it's going to be a snowy day, but it's all good. You know why? Because this is Buffalo. It's December, and it snows, and we've been here once or twice.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is 4:37 at News Radio 930 WBEN. A lot of interesting text coming in, and there is no other local talk show to listen to in the area. So, okay, every day, what I want you to do is send me an email every single day, the person who texted me that at the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, and you name the topic that I should do, okay? You tell me the topic I should do, and I will, you know, I'll follow your lead instead of four decades of experience in doing what I do. I think I kind of know what I'm doing. You know, Marv Levy once said, when you start listening to the fans, you soon become one of them. And I appreciate your input, but there are some people you see who are either trolling or there's some people you're just never going to make happy. And I'll tell you, the people I will never make happy are the people who think that talk radio should only be a platform for right-wing political ideologues, and that any other topic is a waste of talk radio's time. And I'm not your guy. I've never been your guy. And honest to God, there are people, and I think these people are very, very naive. There are people who think that talk radio can really make a difference. It can't. Talk radio cannot make a difference in a state like New York State. Maybe in a state that's more 50-50, it might be able to make a difference. But I firmly believe, and a lot of radio consultants are with me, just so you know, I firmly believe that all political talk radio will be the death of talk radio. Firmly believe that. But, you know, there are people who, you know, think I should be gone from the station because I don't do right-wing political ideologue shows every single day. You know, sorry to let you down. So what I read from the Channel 7 website and posted on the show's Facebook page, are your questions answered about the fatal accident in October, which we're talking about because unless you've been living under a rock, there have been more rumors that this accident involves some kind of big-time scandal involving somebody connected than I've seen in any local accident story going back several years. I can't remember the last time a local fatal accident generated so much talk about a cover-up as this one. The Alex Rice tragedy was the last accident I can remember talking about in detail on this program. But I'm trying to figure out, and it's been, believe me, it's been a long time, the last time all these conspiracy theories swirled around a fatal motor vehicle accident. And again, let's not lose sight of something very, very important. You might not have known them, but they had loved ones. Kristen LeBruno and the gentleman who was with her. They have family. They have loved ones. And they're hurting. And they're suffering. And they could really use your prayers. And I don't know what the families know about what happened with the accident. I would imagine that the families have retained legal counsel. That would be a smart thing to do because they, the families, were also victims in this accident. But let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Chris in West Seneca, you are on. Hello.
Hello, Tom. This is Chris. How are you, man?
Living the dream, sir. Living the dream. And I got the snow boots already for tomorrow. How about you?
Coming home from work, and I turn you on all the time. Not that way, but I turn you on.
Oh, little do you know, Chris.
And the only thing I could think of is two things. Ever since Corisani killed that little girl back in the day, a lot of people are doing hitting and runs. And on top of that, if you got the money, you can get away with anything. And whoever this Antonio Brown is, he's got a lot of money or he knows somebody up.
You know, here's obviously, I have no way of knowing whom Antonio Brown knows. But there's no indication I can find looking up, you know, all the people search sites I can use online. There's no indication that he is of a moneyed background. I mean, he was driving a 2008 Maserati. It's not like he was driving a 2019 Rolls Royce, like the one I saw on Main Street in Williamsville a few weeks back.
The dealer instead of sending it to Italy. Why can't the dealer do it?
And you know what? That is, to me, a legitimate question. Are there no companies locally, are there no companies in the United States with the forensic technology to analyze a black box from a Maserati or any other vehicle? And if it was installed aftermarket, why would they have to send it to Maserati? It's my understanding most of the black boxes that are installed aftermarket are of Asian manufacture. And Maserati wasn't even putting black boxes in its 08 vehicles. And as of 2014, according to Edmunds.com, Maseratis, Ferraris, and Volkswagens didn't have black boxes. Therefore, your question is a legitimate one.
And I don't know. Either they're lying to us and the cops think we're all naive, but they are hiding something. It's like I said, if you have money, you can get away with it. I had a niece that was killed by that motorcycle guy out in Amherst on a bike path years ago. And he hit her with the motorcycle. And that guy, he had, I don't know the lawyer's name, he's a tall, thin guy. I call him Skeletor. He got him out in 3 years.
I believe you're speaking of Joel Daniels.
I don't know if it's Joel Daniels or not.
Your description of him, I have heard that nickname before. Not very nice, but I've called people that too. Not Mr. Daniels, however. All right, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, you have a good day.
All right, actually, joining us right now from the Buffalo Police Department, we have Captain Jeff Rinaldo. Captain, thanks very much for being with us. Appreciate your time. I didn't see you on hold until the last couple of seconds.
No problem. Thank you, Tom.
I get involved in my own little zone, my own little world, and everything else doesn't matter. So question number one, have you read the report on Channel 7's website?
I have not read the report, but I know that our department did, under a FOIL request, release the MV-104, which obviously contained the name of the driver of the vehicle.
Okay, question number two. Are you aware of the various theories and skepticism regarding this particular double fatality?
I'm very aware, Tom. I've done multiple interviews on the conspiracy theories surrounding this case. And number one, I can confirm for you that this individual who's the driver of the Maserati is of no relation to any political figures in Western New York. I know that because in order to ensure it, I spoke with various people to confirm that there is no relation, and there is not. Number two, I think that this case is unique because people are under the impression that these investigations should be completed within a day or two, and that's just not the reality of how a complex accident involving two fatalities works.
How complex was this accident, or can you describe what you believe happened in this accident which cost us two lives?
Sure. So what we know for a fact is we know the direction of travel of the Maserati. We know the conditions at night. It was driving rain, and we are working on determining exactly where the vehicle that was ultimately struck, how and when it entered the roadway. Every car that's sold or manufactured in the United States as of 2014 has to contain a black box which logs certain crash test data that's standardized across the manufacturers. The vehicle in question is a 2008 Maserati. It did not have the same set of standards as other vehicles contain. So, number one, our accident investigation unit, which is highly trained and has the latest equipment, has a device that you plug into these boxes to withdraw that data. However, they only have cables for the top 50 manufactured and popular vehicles on the road. They did not have a cable for a Maserati. Secondly, when we were able to speak with people from Maserati to determine what data may or may not be on this box, that is where the question lies. So unlike a standard accident investigation where you have black box data from both vehicles, in this case, we have it from the struck vehicle, not from the striking vehicle yet. So the investigation will rely heavily upon toxicology results as well as the accident reconstruction, which is a very intense, painstaking process to put together exactly what happened prior to the collision.
Okay, I have a bunch of questions. So, sure. According to Edmunds.com, as of 2014, the event data recorders, the black box, a feature of Maseratis, and this was a 2008 Maserati. Are you saying that there was no black box, or are you saying that there was an aftermarket black box installed by perhaps a dealer or some third party?
My understanding, as per my conversation with my accident investigators, is that the car does contain what we normally refer to as a black box. However, the data that's stored on it was a lot of stuff that is used for repair shop work. So in other words, your check engine light comes on, you take your car back to the repair shop, they plug into the black box, and they can pull those types of codes and things like that. So again, question as to whether or not the specific data points that we would be interested in may or may not have been recorded is what we're trying to get the answer to.
But a 2008 Maserati would not have had a black box as standard equipment. Are you saying that an aftermarket black box manufactured by Maserati was what your investigators uncovered?
They uncovered a type of black box device, and that is what they have spoken with Maserati, both locally as well as abroad, to determine exactly what information may or may not be contained on it. As far as who manufactured the box that was found in the vehicle, I can't answer that because I don't know the answer to that question.
Was the device actually sent to Maserati in Italy?
I believe, as per the Erie County District Attorney's Office, that that device has not yet been sent. They're waiting to get some further instruction from Maserati on exactly what can be downloaded from the device.
Are there have you investigated the chance that there are companies locally or companies stateside that would be able to extract whatever data is in that particular device?
My understanding is that the manufacturer of the device that our AIU investigators utilize to withdraw data from all different makes and manufacturers of these vehicles were told that they would have to deal directly with the vehicle manufacturer for that data.
What is the purpose of sending the black box device to Italy when presumably the accident investigators of the Buffalo Police Department on the scene the night of the accident did the standard protocol in terms of accident investigation, especially when there were two fatalities?
It's no different, Tom, than if you know that there's video available in a crime. Despite the work of detectives and everybody else, you still want to get every last piece of evidence that could possibly be available in order to help make a stronger case in terms of this reconstruction.
Question, is it true, Captain Jeff Rinaldo, is it true that toxicology tests did show that Antonio Brown, the driver of the Maserati, was legally drunk?
I can't state that on the record at this point because we are currently waiting for the certified toxicology report. So there's a preliminary report that's issued, and then those results are reviewed by the Erie County lab, and then a certification is issued. So for me to comment on what those results were at this point would be premature.
Whatever the specific results, are we talking about blood?
Yes.
Okay, this is a blood test. Was the blood work court-ordered, or did Mr. Brown consent?
It was court-ordered.
Okay, a court-ordered examination. In terms of why Channel 7 had to go to a request, a Freedom of Information request, why did the Buffalo Police not willingly release the name of the driver of the other vehicle in such a way that would not necessarily inculpate him in any criminal act?
We, as a policy, do not release names of people, whether they are a complainant or a suspect, without somebody being charged with a crime. That holds true regardless of the nature of the investigation. There are times that we would release the name of a suspect or potentially show a video or photograph of a suspect if we are unsure of who the person is and we're trying to identify them or their whereabouts. In this case, the driver of the said vehicle has not been charged yet with a crime. And until a determination is made and if he is charged, we do not release names in those cases.
Now, this accident took place back in October. The court-ordered blood work presumably would have been done shortly after the accident. How long does it typically take to have certified toxicology reports on your desk?
Toxicology reports can take anywhere between 6 to 8 weeks, depending on how busy the lab is, the priority of how it falls in line with other requests that were pending. It is not, unlike what people see on popular TV shows, a 2-hour or 12-hour turnaround for those results.
I can certainly remember, though, I mean, a number of occasions where shortly after an accident in which the driver is allegedly or was allegedly intoxicated, charges followed shortly after the incident. Am I missing something?
A lot of those cases, it's a result of the driver submitting to a breathalyzer test, which on its own stands under court scrutiny as a certified result. Again, other cases, it depends on nature of the investigation, whether or not an accident reconstruction is necessary, and all the other factors that play into each case that's unique. This past summer, we had a driver who struck and killed a pedestrian, and it took almost 3.5 months before we were able to lay criminal charges in that case because, again, multitude of circumstances, everything from waiting for blood results, accident reconstruction, interviews, and things of that nature. Sometimes these cases do take months to complete.
Based upon the accident reconstruction done shortly after the accident, is there a strong possibility that Mr. Brown, in addition to allegedly being intoxicated, may have committed other infractions which contributed to this double fatality of two innocent people?
Well, in any accident, whether there's an injury, no injury, you have to look at the actions of both vehicles prior to the collision. You then have to determine right of ways. You have to determine direction of travel. You have to determine speed of vehicles. In this case, there's other factors based on the weight of the Maserati versus the weight of the victim's car. It's considerably different, so it created a much larger debris field that required a lot more measurement utilizing our total station and other electronic devices. So it's not always as simple as simply taking some pictures, pulling out a yardstick, and then making that determination.
Does the extent of the debris field indicate a high rate of speed?
It's tough to say that at this point until I see the final accident reconstruction report, which, again, we're hoping to have completed sometime by the end of this month.
It was a rainy night. The roads were wet. Did the weather in any way impede the accident investigators on the ground?
I wouldn't say it impeded it, but it definitely creates some challenges when you're working a crash scene in the rain. You want to do everything you can to ensure that the scene is well documented, that the scene is secured, and that you're able to take the measurements and shoot the scene, as they say, with the total station as accurately as possible.
Is that the 360-degree device that offers the basically the reconstruction of the entire scene?
Correct.
Okay. One more question. When can the people of Western New York and of Buffalo expect further action or further action based on additional information from the Buffalo Police?
Sure. So once our accident reconstruction is completed, and that depends on not only the physical reconstruction as well as whether or not any information will be forthcoming from the black box and the toxicology results, that information from our accident investigation unit will be turned over to the Erie County District Attorney's Office. Once they have reviewed it, then they will make a determination on the appropriateness of any charges in this case.
Captain Jeff Rinaldo from the Buffalo Police Department, grateful for your time, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.
All right, there is Captain Rinaldo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.